Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast. It's Friday the 15th of March and this is our Friday 5 News Roundup, with Stephen in the chair this week. Every week, Jamie Martin brings us the top 5 stories from the city ground. So without further ado, let's go over to Jamie now at the 1865 News Desk.
Hi, this is Jamie Martin with your top 5 Forest stories from the 1865 News Desk. Now the headline to this week's news: Nottingham Forest are amongst the clubs who failed to agree on EFL deal. In a controversial ruling, a majority of 14 clubs in the Premier League did not vote in favour of a new EFL settlement, which would have seen the EFL clubs paid £836 million over the next 5 years to help fund the football pyramid. The ruling was announced by Sky News just this week, with Nottingham Forest amongst the clubs who've disagreed on the new settlement, which would provide crucial funds for the development of football clubs and overall quality in the English Football League, which spans League 2, League 1 and the Championship. Insiders believe that Premier League clubs are reluctant to agree on any settlement as they don't wish to arm a rival and fund a team who could potentially replace them. The Prime Minister, Rishi Sunak, has warned of government intervention over the decision. Forest, who spent 23 years in the Championship before returning to the Premier League, including a stint in League One, are now amongst the controversy surrounded by the decision made by Premier League clubs. Now, the second feature in this week's news: Nuno Espirito Santo has fumed at officials after Brighton loss. Following a dull 1-0 defeat to Brighton and Hove Albion last weekend, Forest boss Nuno fumed after a controversial decision saw Jacob Moda only receive a yellow card for a seriously dangerous tackle on Nico Williams in the second half. In the challenge, Brighton player Jacob Moda slid into Nico Williams, both feet in the air, stood in the left ankle of the Welsh fullback, and thankfully for Williams, not breaking his ankle, which, given the tackle, was of a high likelihood. Following the tackle, a ruling of a yellow card by Michael Salisbury, the match referee, and Forest lost to Brighton, Nuno fumed. In a post-match chat with journalists, Nuno said it's a clear red, a serious mistake, then going on to ask, why always us, in response to recent controversial refereeing of Forest games. The Portuguese coach has been more reserved than expected after recent poor decisions, but Murder's almost injuring tackle was seemingly the final straw. Now, some rather positive news this week. Forest have announced a new Garibaldi Girls project. In a landmark move for the club this week, a new initiative which aims to support women watching Forest and interacting with the club is being established, led by Ellie Mollison, a Forest fan and colleague at 1865 podcast. Following the announcement, the club's director of people and culture commented, "Women play a vitally important role in the success of our club. We want to make sure that women's voices are clearly heard and that topics that are important to them are prioritised, and that the club takes steps to continually ensure that we're a workplace that provides meaningful and rewarding careers. We want to be a place where all of our employees thrive each day. The Women's Network is one of the ways we're seeking to keep that conversation a priority in everyone's minds." A huge positive statement from the club and Miss Mollison, who, working together, aim to create a safe and enjoyable environment for female football fans at Nottingham Forest Football Club. Great work, Ellie. Keep it up. And now on some staff-related news at Nottingham Forest. Forest set-piece coach has been relegated to a role with little influence. Recent reports from The Athletic have revealed that Forest recently hired set-piece coach Simon Rusk is not working in the role he was hired for upon the arrival of Nuno Espirito Santo, with the Portuguese head coach, to quote, preferring his own coaches. Since arriving at the club, Simon Rusk oversaw the final moments of Steve Cooper's tenure, the head coach who wanted him at the club and played his part as set-pieces coach in those moments. Now with Nuno, however, Mr. Rusk has little influence on the first team, reportedly rarely working with them, and when he does, often in a different role. The club could look to offer him an alternate role, given the circumstances. Forest have one of the Premier League's worst rates for conceding and scoring set pieces, with only Burnley worse for goals scored from set pieces this season. And finally, in this week's news, Gonzalo Montiel's buy clause has been revealed. Gonzalo Montiel's loan to Nottingham Forest comes with a buy option, and for the most part of the season, it has been unknown to many, in terms of what clauses need to be met. However, new reports have revealed how much Forest would activate the clause and have to pay. Since arriving on loan from Sevilla in summer, Montiel has made 9 appearances for Forest, but has suffered with a series of injuries, including a hamstring issue for which he recently returned from. However, now with the competition from Nico Williams and potentially Ola Aina on return from injury, Gonzalo Montiel has been, so to speak, left in the shadows a bit. This could be the decider as to whether he stays at the City Ground next year. For Montiel's loan to become permanent, the Argentinian World Cup winner would need to play 8 out of 10 times in the next 10 games, or else the buy clause will not be activated, as per Mundo Deportivo. Time is ticking on Montiel's rollercoaster career at Trentside, but could a deal of £9.5 million soon be struck? We'll have to wait and see. That's the latest there. Then from the 1865 News Desk, I'm Jamie Martin. Be sure to catch up with me on social media via @I'mJamieMartin on Twitter or X. Updates on Nottingham Forest related news throughout the week. Thank you for listening and speak to you soon.
Thank you very much, Jamie. I'm joined by the Maradona of the Midlands to have a look at some of those stories in more detail. So we'll start at the top then, and news this week that Forest were among a group of Premier League clubs who voted against the settlement, which would see Premier League clubs pay £836 million over the next 5 years to help out clubs in the EFL. Now, this move certainly hasn't gone down well with some sections of the fan base. It doesn't paint Forest in the best of lights, does it?
No, it doesn't. Maybe we shouldn't be surprised that Premier League clubs don't want to increase the money going to the lower leagues, because it's basically turkeys voting for Christmas again, isn't it? Nobody likes to give away money. And possibly with the so many of the clubs being now owned by foreign owners, you probably shouldn't be surprised that they don't have that great nostalgic feel for the pyramid and all the great stories of the sort of clubs coming up, like Wimbledon and Watford, and even Forest coming up from the second division to win the league title. They probably don't care, to be brutal and blunt, because they're only in it to make money. So if they're in it to make money, they don't want to give money away.
The irony of this as well is that Forest could actually end up voting for something which could harm them if they ended up getting relegated, which this season is a possibility.
Yeah, very much so. It does seem short-sighted from teams like Forest. I've heard other clubs like Bournemouth are also voted against it. So, I mean, you know, clubs that have been down there very, very recently and could end up there very soon as well. Again, also a bit short-sighted from the clubs in the fact that by doing this, it almost forces the government's hand to appoint an independent regulator who could legislate for even higher payments. They could end up costing the clubs even more money in the long run. And they'll lose control of the game, of the Premier League. So that's, I mean, it seems like a risky move to me, but it shouldn't surprise us that they're all driven by self-interest.
Insiders suggest that Premier League clubs are reluctant to fund EFL teams because they could potentially become their rivals, either through relegation or promotion, which again just comes across like wanting to make it a closed shop, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I know certain American owners have even advocated scrapping relegation, making it a closed shop, which when you think how egalitarian American sports are, they're almost a communist system with their draft system where everybody gets the same money and the worst clubs get the first pick of the players. It surprised me slightly that they want to sort of raise up the drawbridge against other clubs. The league, when it started in 92, was driven by self-interest. And so it shouldn't really surprise that that's continuing to be the dominating theme even now, even today, with the stakes being so much higher. Then it was a £50 million TV deal the first season, I think, from memory. Now it's £1 billion a season or something ridiculous. So it's not surprising when that sort of money comes a knocking, the blinkers are going to be on, and you're just going to be looking at sort of protecting yourselves. I know some clubs have made the point that the football league clubs have rich owners as well. They can well afford to run their own clubs. And their clubs are run badly, but I think the majority of clubs in the football league don't have multi-billionaire or hundreds of millionaire owners, and could really do with some money just to help them survive, really, and improve their infrastructure and facilities for supporters.
And that's the key thing about this. It isn't just about giving teams money. It's what that money can do for clubs lower down the pyramid. Like you say, it can keep them afloat, it can improve facilities, and it just invests in the grassroots. Yesterday, the England squad was announced, for example, and so many of Gareth Southgate's picks have at some point played in the EFL in their careers. And that just shows you what an important role it plays in developing players and also strengthening English football as a whole. And you would think that the Premier League would have an interest in that as well, and Premier League clubs.
Yeah, I mean, the thing I think a lot of the owners are missing the point on is that the strength of the Premier League is the fact that anybody can beat anybody else. Now, that's been disproven slightly this season by Sheffield United and Burnley coming up. But that just shows how important it is to strengthen the Football League a bit more, because that gulf is just getting bigger and bigger and bigger all the time. And you can't compete without breaking the rules, as Forest have found, without sort of breaking the spending rules. So it would make sense to have a smaller gap between the two leagues. And so when a team come up, they provide more of a competition, and it's a better spectacle. Now that's going to make people want to watch Premier League football around the world. It's boring knowing that Sheffield United and Burnley are going to lose every week. That's not what the Premier League's been about all these years. Any team has been able to beat any other team on any given day. And if that jeopardy goes, the value of the TV contracts is going to start to diminish as well, because this is going to turn into a copy of, say, Spain or Germany or France, where the results are routinely predictable.
Although I think certain top six clubs wouldn't mind it if things went that way. But yeah, that's for another discussion, that one. Let's move on then to our second story that Jamie brought us, and Nuno Espirito Santo's comments about the match officials following the 1-0 defeat at Brighton. The big talking point of the game from Forest's point of view was Jakub Moda's second half challenge on Nico Williams. It was a wild one. He was off the floor and potentially could have broken Nico Williams's legs. Such was the force and the way which he collided with the Forest fullback. So after the game, Nuno said that it should have been a red card. He couldn't understand why it hadn't been given, particularly after the VAR review. It stayed as a yellow, of course, and Moda was allowed to continue. And it led to Nuno at the end saying, "Why always us?" Which, you know, it on the surface, it comes across quite whiny and almost woe is me. But when you look at it, this has been coming all season, hasn't it? It's another poor decision to add to the catalogue that Forest have had throughout the campaign.
It is. It does come across a little bit self-pitying. And as a Forest fan myself, I'm getting bored of having to think about it and speak about it. I'd much rather talk about some brilliant football. But it does keep on happening. I'm sure there's clubs out there from every other club in the league would say, well, we've had a bad decision here, we've had a bad decision there. And a good point to probably three or four during the course of the season, which have gone against them. The problem is, we've had a load in consecutive matches, really just since Christmas, ever since Nuno's been in. So he's probably thinking we'd be maybe 5 or 6 points further up the league if these decisions didn't keep on going against us. And yeah, it's baffling. So, I mean, I could understand the penalties at the beginning of this run. Okay, they're debatable. You can say the Taiwo one, even the Nico Willia ones, you can say it was an accidental coming together. But I've seen challenges like the Nico Williams one at the weekend against Brighton, been the referee being sent to review several times this season already. That's the thing that, I mean, there's nothing in that that says that's not a red card. He was off the ground with both feet, lunging, and made contact with the guy's ankle. I just don't understand why. It maybe makes you think that we've annoyed them now a little bit. Just maybe not even consciously, just subconsciously by constantly complaining and then bringing in Mark Clattenburg. And that's just maybe just annoyed them and set the tone against us now. Because from what I understand, the referee world is an incredibly bitchy one and terribly competitive. And most referees absolutely hate each other. So if there's one of them saying to the others that you're getting this wrong, well, maybe they're saying, well, we'll show you, Mark Clattenburg.
Well, yes. And when you look at the catalogue of decisions over the course of the campaign, I think Forest do have grounds for the complaints that they've been putting into PGMOL. I do think the Clattenburg appointment has almost put a target on our back a bit. And maybe, yes, that started to come out in some of the more recent decisions of recent weeks.
We're pleased to announce that this episode of 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast, is sponsored by Green King Sport, where football is more than a game. Green King Sport venues are showing every single televised Forest fixture over the 23-24 season. And with more than 900 sports pubs across the UK, it doesn't matter where you're based, you can catch every single minute of the action. If you download the Green King Sport app, you won't just get 10% off all drinks anytime there's a match on the TV, but this month there's also free Guinness to be won and the chance to win one of six holidays. And you'll be supporting us here at 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
You're listening to 1865, the Nottingham Forest podcast.
Let's go on to our next story. And this is the announcement this week by Forest of the new Garibaldi Girls Project, a new initiative that aims to support women watching Forest. And it is founded by our very own Ellie Mollison and aims to foster a sense of camaraderie and solidarity through meetups, making new friends at the game and watching matches together and creating a community where all female supporters feel welcome and valued and respected when they come to watch games at the City Ground. And yeah, I think this is a fantastic initiative and a real positive step by everybody involved.
Yeah, I think so too. In an ideal world, we wouldn't necessarily need something like this. Anybody would be able to feel welcome to be able to go to any match wherever they wanted. But there obviously is a problem. Ellie's spoken very eloquently about some of the issues she's faced in the last couple of years when going to matches, a sort of sexism and really unacceptable behaviour from male football fans at grounds. So I know that that would put off a lot of women from going to matches because it can be intimidating. So if this helps them to feel more comfortable and they can all go together and go to more matches, that can only be good for them and for the club in general. It means we've got more supporters.
And at the moment, there is a lot of attention on, if you like, outdated and really just poor behaviour from people in the football industry, most notably people like Joey Barton, who has been openly criticising female pundits, female presenters. And again, it's creating a conversation and quite unpleasant conversations around women's involvement in football. So something like this project, I think, is huge for not only for the people involved and obviously the great work that Ellie has done from her side, but also Forest to come on board with it and really make it part of the club. It's a positive step and a really good sign in the face of some really not very nice views, shall we say, in football at the moment from some people.
Yeah, I mean, if some of the things that get said about women were said about black people, it would be sort of cause uproar. You just couldn't get away with saying things like that. They're terribly offensive. It's good that the club is engaged enough to get on board with these sort of things now, because we've spent years and years where the club was, we couldn't get any comments out of them. There's no news, let alone any sort of community engagement. So for them to be now involved front and centre with this sort of thing is a really positive thing, and a really good sign of progress with that, how the club is engaging with the city.
Indeed. And we wish Ellie and the Garibaldi girls all the very best. So the next story is around one individual, Simon Rusk, who was brought in as a set-piece coach under Steve Cooper. But it looks like he's not working in the role that he was hired for. And as Jamie alluded to in his roundup, it looks like Nuno has preferred to use his own coaches for set pieces. And Simon Rusk has been working still at the club, but rarely working with the first team. So if Nuno's not utilising him, what exactly are we paying for?
Yeah, it's another chapter in the sort of sad litany of terrible strategic decisions we've made as a club in the past couple of years. From memory, he only came in with sort of a couple of games of Steve Cooper's reign remaining. At the time, I thought, well, if they're bringing him in, if they're allowing Steve Cooper to bring in another coach who's had to leave another job to come and join us, this must surely mean Steve's staying. He's here for a reasonably long time now. Obviously, that wasn't the case. And it just felt awkward as soon as Steve Cooper got sacked, because you thought, well, even beforehand, we were all thinking that if he goes, this is going to be very awkward for him, because he's only just come in and the new manager may have his own people. So I don't know what Nuno's set piece coaches are doing, because they're not doing a very good job. I'm getting sick and tired of watching Match of the Day and them saying, look, this line of defenders shouldn't be here. They need to be 10 yards this way. And this one-man wall is a nonsense. There's no point doing it. I just wish they'd just watch Match of the Day and listen to them, and maybe we'd be a bit better, let alone having a set-piece coach. But yeah, it just speaks of the terrible sort of organisation we've got in the background, and this terrible waste as well. Waste so much money on players and coaches and things like this down the years. It's just really, really sad.
And yeah, given Forest's record from set pieces this season, both defending and attacking them, you'd think we'd need all the help we could get. So I'd be looking to you, Simon Rusk, and I don't know, possibly sticking him in at the back, because it seems to be that Forest are conceding so many. I think it's 18 goals conceded this season, which is the worst in the league. I'm not sure about goals scored from set pieces, but it can't be that many either.
No, and it's just with a game against Luton coming up at the weekend, I think a lot of us are just fearing what's going to happen there, because it's just going to be air raid siren time, just balls coming in from all angles into our box. And I just fear how many goals we'll concede there. It's going to be a tough old week, afternoon for us this weekend. And just, yeah, we need all the help we can get. But Nuno's famous for just using his own team of coaches. And then as soon as they came in, I spotted it straight away. They were sort of very sort of close-knit, and almost to the exclusion of the other coaches who are there, Stephen Reid and what have you. So it's no surprise, really, that he's not used him, but I wish he would.
And our final story involves Gonzalo Montiel, and we now know his buy clause. It was revealed this week in a report, and we now know that Montiel needs to play 8 out of Forest's next 10 matches to activate the £9.5 million fee to sign him permanently from Sevilla. He's made 9 appearances so far for Forest. Do you think he'll make any more this season?
He might make one or two, but I don't think there's any chance that he'll make the number required to activate the buyout clause. I don't think there's any desire from the club, and I'd be so surprised if there's any desire from the player to make the move permanent. It's not worked out terribly well, has it? He's impressive in one game and then he's terrible in the next game. So I don't think the club, especially with relegation possibly looming over the horizon, would want to risk having another 10 million pounds or so going out the door and another right back. So I don't think there's a cat in hell's chance that he's going to sign for us permanently.
And I think the form of Nico Williams and the return of Ola Aina means that we are going to be quite well stocked when it comes to right backs. With Montiel, yeah, he played in those victories against Newcastle and Manchester United over Christmas and he looked good, but then you'll have games like the one against Arsenal where he cleared the ball straight to them and they ended up scoring from it eventually. So yeah, he's been hit and miss, hasn't he, for a player with such pedigree as a World Cup winner.
Yeah, I mean, that was the only redeeming factor of his signing, really, that he was a World Cup winner and he had great pedigree. But I think we also unanimously agreed on the pod that there's really no reason to buy another right back at that stage. And it just points once again to the failure of strategy and the waste in our recruitment policy that's landed us in trouble with the FFP regulation. So yeah, another mistake there, I'd say.
So let's leave our news stories there. Forest have a crunch match, as you've mentioned. Maradona coming up away at Luton on Saturday. I think it's fair to say that we're feeling a bit more optimistic about that game now than we were at 8:15 on Wednesday evening. But yes, remains to be seen how Forest will perform in that one and if they can respond to defeat at Brighton and go to Luton and get a result. And who knows, that by that point we might even have a points deduction confirmed. We'll wait and see. We'll have our match report for you after that game. But if you do like what you hear from us, do let us know. Send us a message. You can share our content on social media as well. And you can find all of our links on 1865.football. Thank you to the Maradona of the Midlands. Thank you to Jamie on the 1865 news desk. And thank you for joining us. You Reds!
Podcast Network.